Would you turn with me to the book of 1 Peter? 1 Peter, that's right towards the end of the New Testament there. I always go to Revelation and start working my way back to find it. It's a little easier that way. 1 Peter chapter 4. And as you find 1 Peter chapter 4, you may have noticed a theme in our music this morning and the songs that we sang. We talked about getting the strength of Christ, going through the persecution, going through the difficult times. And that is the theme of our message this morning, because we're talking about persecution, standing for Christ when this world stands against you. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to begin with verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Now let's just stop and take a little side note there. When's the last time that you rejoiced in suffering? I mean, if we're going to be honest, that's not the first thing we think about, is it? Somebody calls you with bad news and you go, oh, praise God. And yet, God's Word tells us that when we're persecuted for His sake, I'm not talking about being persecuted for our sin. I'm not talking about being persecuted for the dumb stuff we do. But when God's Word tells us that we are to rejoice with exceeding joy because of the sufferings that are brought on us because we stand for God, I think if we'll stop and say, God, help us to see it differently, He will. So let's move back to the Word. Verse 14 said, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Now, what did it just say? It said that if you are reproached, if you are blasted, if you are blasphemed, if you are persecuted because of Jesus' name, you're blessed because the Spirit of God rests upon you. On their part, He's blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Pray with me. God, we don't like this verse. Our first thought whenever we're persecuted, Lord, is to whine and complain and to fight back. We have a hard time with it, God, so we need Your help. Amen? Lord, throughout this building, we're human. And God, when we hear Your Word and it tells us to glory in the persecution, when it says that we're blessed for persecution, it's foolishness to the world. So God, would You help our hearts and our minds to stop looking at the world and look to You. God, I think this is one of the most difficult things that we deal with. So Lord, I pray for Your help. I pray for Your help for me. I pray for Your help for my brothers, my sisters, my friends. Lord, this congregation, as we face the persecution that comes because we stand for You, help us, God, to do right by You no matter what. And Lord, we are reminded that we need Your help to take one tiny step in that direction. Your Holy Spirit. So God, strengthen us in You that we might not only stand for You, but praise You and glory in You while we stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? We're reminded throughout God's Word that when we stand for Christ, we're going to be persecuted. Let me just make a statement of some facts. Would you join me in this? And if you'll agree, you can say amen or preach on or you got it or I agree, whatever comes to your heart and mind. But here's the first fact that I want to share with you. We have a loving, caring, generous, forgiving God who, although we did not deserve it and do not deserve it, He's made a way for us to go to heaven and to give us eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Secondly, not only do we have a loving, caring, generous, forgiving God, but we also have a stinking enemy. We've got somebody who hates us just because of to whom we belong. We have an enemy who hates God, and because we love God, he hates us. And because Jesus Christ has already defeated him, he'd like to drag humanity down with him into his fiery prison because he does not want to suffer alone. So Satan hates us and wants to drag us down with him. Here's a third fact. Satan knows that if he can't have us, and he knows that if we belong to Christ, he can't. But if Satan can't have us, he does not want us winning people to Christ because he wants to drag as many down with him as he can. That's a fact, dear people. So he works very hard to drag our witness down and to make us an ineffective witness any way that he can. Any way that he can. He strives to lure us back into the world and to consume us with the world. He knows that when we're worldly, we're not a good witness. Amen? Hey, how many times has somebody said, well, I'd go to the church except for all those Christians? Or how about this one? It's all those hypocrites down there that's keeping me from coming. Listen, none of us are perfect. That's why we need to be as transparent as we can, and we need to keep pointing them not to our witness, but to Jesus Christ. So he knows when we're worldly, we were not a good witness. So to fight this, we have got to be consumed with Christ and consumed with his word. It's a daily prayer battle. And we have to have a daily desire to be consumed with Christ so that we walk right, talk right, act right, and that we can be a witness for other people. It's tough. And I'm going to tell you, we need His help. We need God's help every minute of every day not to foul up. Unfortunately, I speak from personal experience. One of Satan's most effective tactics to keep us from serving God, to keep us from being a good witness, is to bully us. It's one of his most effective tools. He blasts us daily with unfair and ungodly deluges of hurt, difficulty, temptation, accusation, and anything to keep us from focusing on the kingdom. Anything to keep us hurting so that we're reeling rather than praising. That's the way he works. Do you know what that's called in Christian circles? Life. It's called waking up in the morning and doing it all over again. It does not matter who you are. If you belong to Christ, if you're trying to do God's will, if you're just trying a little to do God's will, you will face spiritual attack and difficulties from the enemy. Period. It's the last fact I'm going to state out before I start preaching. Are you ready? Oh, you thought I was preaching already? Hang on. Let me ask you a question. If you're a Christian, if you belong to Christ, if you believe in God the Father, if you have confessed Him with your mouth, if you have confessed His Son as your Lord and Savior, let me just ask you this. Did you really think it was going to be easier on this side than on the other? That's like saying to a new NFL rookie that has his first game in the NFL, now that you're out of college, you won't get hit anymore. Play that video. Love this. Boom. One more time. Slow-mo. Here we go. Now watch the block. Here we go. Not that one, but right there. One more time. Here we go. Welcome to the NFL. Just had to put those in there. That's one of the favorite lines of the NFL vets. Oh, by the way, those were rookies. Their favorite line while they stand over them after they've rung their bell, cleaned their clock, is, "Welcome to the NFL, rookie." Well, let me tell you something. Satan's trying to do the exact same thing to you, and welcome to Christian life, rookie. If you weren't expecting it, let me ask you, what did you think was going to happen? You join up on God's team, and the enemy is going to be working against you. If you try to be like Christ, the world will treat you like Him. If you try to be like Jesus, the world is going to treat you like Him. What did they do to God's Son? Did you really expect it to be any different? The question is not, will I get hit? The question is, not will you get hit. The question is, how are you going to respond when you get hit? Are you going to get back up and try again? Or are you going to lay there and whine? When we live for Jesus Christ, folks, we are going to fight a battle. Let's just go through some different things here. First of all, when we live for Jesus, we are not going to be popular in this world. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I like popularity. I like to be the popular one. I like it when people say, "Oh, I like old Gary. Ain't he a great guy? I like what he stands for. I like who he is." Well, let me tell you something. When you live for Jesus, we're not going to be popular in the world. And if you're striving to be popular in the world, you're not living for Jesus. Period. All Christians, every Christian, whether young or old, are called to oppose sin. Big or little sin. And no one, God's Word says, no one except the wise likes to be told that they're doing wrong. And I don't even think the wise like it when they first hear it. Amen? We are told that the world does not like what we stand for. One of my favorite stories about school is a junior high teacher that decided that she was going to teach the science class from an evolution standpoint. So she was teaching evolution, and she wanted to make a statement right up front with it, and she began her lecture this way. "The way that the world is created and was formed proves that God does not exist." First of all, that's a lie. It's not true. But she continued, "Look out of the window, students," and they all turned and looked. "You can't see God out there, can you?" The class said, "No." "So the logical conclusion is that God does not exist, does he?" And the class was beginning to say, "No." And she was certain that she had convinced them, and she was moving on. And one junior high girl, I love seventh graders, raised her hand. "Teacher?" "Teacher?" "Yes." She just knew that she was going to be agreeing with her. She said, "Teacher, just because we can't see something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist." Now listen, you be careful if you use this when teenagers, okay? Be careful with this. She said, "You know, we could do brain surgery on you and investigate the parts of your brain. We could do a CAT scan and see the brain patterns in your head. But we couldn't prove that you've had one single thought today." "Does that mean that you haven't had a thought today?" She says, "Not at all. Just because you can't see doesn't mean it doesn't exist." And just because you cannot see God doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. She said, I know God. God exists. He's real. We need people of all ages, young and all, young and old, standing against the propaganda of Satan that would brainwash a new generation of students. If you belong to God, you will obediently stand against sin. You will obediently stand against wrong. We do not condone sin. We do not make light of sin. We don't make excuses for sin. Not in others and not for us. And all God's people said, amen. That doesn't mean that just because we hate sin, and we do, it doesn't mean that we hate the sinner. We love the sinner, we hate the sin. Folks, that's a difficult job, but we have got to do it that way. That's how Jesus did it. He loved us, but he hates our sin. Because we oppose sin, God blesses us. When we're obedient, God blesses us. And when we oppose sin and God blesses us for being obedient, the world gets mad. Sinners get mad at us. They don't like us being blessed for standing against them and what they do. Because we oppose sin and because we oppose Satan, we can expect difficulties from the other side. Paul said there, even as Brother Nathan said earlier, don't be so surprised. My dad loved to play golf. He was not very good, but he loved to play. And he played with several coaches who were his close buddies, and every now and then my dad would hit a good shot. And on one particular par five, he put two of them back to back. It was a short hole, but he put his second shot with a 3-wood right up on the green, and everybody turned and, great shot, Lloyd, great shot, great shot. And after receiving a little accolade, he stopped, dropped his club, put his hands on his hips, and he looked at him and said, don't act so surprised. He was joking, of course, because he knew that it was a surprise for him to put two together like that. Dear friend, that's exactly what we're being told in the scripture here. Don't act so surprised when Satan attacks you. That's what he's going to do. You've been told that's what he's going to do. If you belong to God, if you oppose sin, Satan's going to oppose you. 1 Peter 5:8 says that Satan, our adversary, roams about like a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour. Let me ask you this. What does seeking mean? Except that he is looking for a target, and you are a prime suspect. Not only will you be opposed by the world, not only will you be opposed by Satan in the world, but if you stand for Christ, you won't be very popular within the worldly Christian church either. You won't be very popular with worldly Christians or their church. You see, worldly Christians are not consumed by Christ. Worldly Christians are consumed by themselves and by the world. Former religion and worldly Christians are often pretty mean to those who stand for Christ in their church and out of their church. And they are the ones who will persecute Christians because of their pure faith. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because pure faith makes man-made religion look bad. Pure faith, obedience to Christ, makes man-made religion look stupid. I know you don't use that word. It makes them look bad. It makes them look dumb. Listen, that's exactly how Daniel got thrown to the lions. Do you remember? Daniel was not showing off. Daniel was not being difficult with people. He was just praying to God. He was just standing for the Lord, and he was praying to the Lord his God. But the people who had him persecuted, the people who brought him up with charges, so to speak, this was their condemnation. They said, this man condemns us by what he's doing. What was he doing? Serving God. And you too, dear friends, when you serve God, you condemn other people who are serving the world and serving themselves. So just what you're doing condemns them. The Pharisees hated Jesus for the exact same reason, because of his holiness, because of his devotion to the truth, because he would take a stand, and because it wasn't about him. He pointed everything back to God the Father. It was the religious leaders who put Peter and John in prison for doing what? Preaching the truth. The men who stoned Stephen were religionists. Saul, you remember Saul before he became Paul? Saul persecuted Christians for the church. Hello? He went out in the name of his church. He went out in the name of his religion. And he persecuted Christians for the church before he met Jesus. And dear friends, we all know that Jesus Christ himself was put to death under the leadership of the Christian leaders. And so on, and so on. And so, you had better make sure that you've got more than just religion, people. You better make sure that you've got more than just a religion. You better have a relationship with the Christ who gave his life for you. You better have a relationship with God the Father. You had better be consumed with Jesus Christ. Religion won't get you into heaven, but a relationship with Jesus will. When we stand for Christ, worldly Christians won't like you. And when we stand for Christ, we will be persecuted. You know, the devil works to tear down the gospel. He works hard to tear down gospel preaching and to tear down soul winning. Anything he can do to keep people from sharing Jesus, he's going to do. First, he's going to try to defile the messenger. He's going to try to get the messenger to mess up so much somewhere in their life and sin in their life to the point that they tell themselves, I'm not worthy to give the message. After all, I've got sin in my life, so I can't share. Listen, is there anybody in this world other than Jesus that can say that they don't have sin in their life? Does not the Word of God say that if you say that you're not a sinner, you're a liar and the truth is not within you? Folks, we stand on the same stage together, condemned by our sin, every one of us. But Christ Jesus died on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish because of their sin, but have what? Everlasting life. Thank you, Lord. When we stand for Christ, we're going to be persecuted. First, he tries to defile the messenger, and he tries to get the messenger to mess up. You know, there was a couple in the New Testament that were doing great things for the Lord. Their name was Ananias and Sapphira. They worked with Paul. They worked with other disciples. And they were doing a great job in their church. But Satan appeals to their selfish nature for recognition. And the Bible says that they decided they were going to lie about their gifts to the church. And God had to hold them accountable. And they lost their witness. So he tries to defile the messenger. But if we stand firm and the messenger still stands firm, then he persecutes them. First he tries to get us to fall from our sin. And then if that doesn't work, he persecutes us. He harasses us. He bullies us. He troubles us. He causes difficulty. He gives us hurt. He gives us pain. Here's the truth. If you just try to imitate Jesus Christ, the world is going to love you. If you just try to imitate Jesus Christ, you know, be kind, be gentle, be forgiving. If you just try to imitate Christ, the world's going to love you. But if you actually become like Christ and start standing against sin, the world's going to hate you like it did Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, everyone that will live a godly life in Christ will suffer persecution. Everyone. And did you know that today there's more persecution of Christians than in the first century? More Christians are being persecuted today than they were in the New Testament times. It's beginning to come here in the United States. You watch, it's going to get worse. But I'm talking about across this world where communism, Marxism, selfism is pushing itself up in the world. They are pushing against Christians because Christian stands for what's right. And they are being persecuted. They are being martyred. And they are being murdered every day. A Christian is persecuted because he is like Jesus Christ. But that's not the end. The persecuted Christian is not only persecuted, but he's blessed by God for righteousness' sake. That's what his word said. Listen to Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember where that's found in the Beatitudes? Remember that? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now I want you to take note of this. The Bible does not say, listen to all of this, blessed are the persecuted because they are rude and objectionable. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for your stupidity's sake. There's too many Christians who think, I'm being persecuted because of my faith. No, you're being persecuted because you're doing it wrong. Because when we take a stand in the wrong way, we're doing wrong. God says to do it with love. He said, they will know that you are Christians by your objectionable opinion. No, he said, they'll know you're Christians by your love. Be careful, friends. You will not be blessed because you're difficult. You will not be blessed because you seriously lack wisdom. You're not going to be blessed because you're foolish in what you regard as a testimony for Christ. We've all known people who are suffering persecution because of their own foolishness. Amen? Listen, we try to teach that to our kids. Well, they're just treating me bad. Well, what did you do? I didn't do nothing. We find out different. You are not going to be blessed by God for suffering for your own sin. You won't be blessed if you're consumed with yourself. You won't be blessed if you're consumed with the world. Scripture tells us, it says, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Now, what does that mean? It means use the, well, as my mama said, use the brain the good Lord gave you. God forbid that we should ignore that principle and think that we're going to receive a blessing for being foolish, dear friends. Today's passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, it tells us right there, if you're suffering, let it be because you are serving Christ, not because you're doing ungodly things. He said, let none of you suffer as a murderer. Let none of you suffer as a reviler. Let none of you suffer because you're a busybody. Matthew chapter 5 says, blessed is the Christian who suffers because he is serving God. That's what it says. The person who is standing for God will be blessed. Now, blessings are not promised to the one who gives up. God's word says time and again that the faithful servant will be blessed. Psalms chapter 31, verse 23 says, the Lord preserves the faithful. Matthew 25, 23 says, the faithful will be put in charge of many things. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, the faithful will receive a crown of life. The key to serving is serving faithfully. And the key to serving God faithfully is being consumed with Jesus. Let it fill your heart. Let it fill your life. Don't let the world fill you, but be consumed with Christ. In other words, learning all you can, but also putting it into practice. You can have so much in your brain and not use it. Use all you've got. in church, in Bible study, in prayer, talking with God is prayer. In worship, everything you do, let it be worship. Private worship in your home, public worship together. You know, anything that pleases God, stop and listen to this for a second. Anything that pleases God can be used as worship. Hello? If it's something that pleases God, it can be turned into a worship service, privately or corporately. That, dear friends, will lead to faithful service, and our faithful service will lead to persecution. The key is not just surviving persecution, but thriving through the persecution. And we do that by being consumed with Jesus Christ and His Word. We can't do that on our own. You can't do that on your own. I can't do that on my own. I need God's Holy Spirit to give me strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 doesn't say, I can do all things, period. What does it say? Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God's Holy Spirit is the one who gives us strength. Peter, James, Paul all wrote that you are going to be blessed and persecuted for serving Christ and for being like Christ. And even this passage even said, if for no other reason, it's your final proof that you actually really do belong to Christ, to God, that you belong to Christ. If you are never persecuted, if you never have a hardship, if you never have a trial, you better check your ownership papers, people. Because if you don't belong to Jesus, why in the world would Satan harass you? But if he is harassing you, it ought to be a sign that he's read your tag. I belong to Jesus. God's name is on your heart. And with God's help, with Christ's help, with the Holy Spirit's help, we can be stronger by being consumed with Christ. And with God's help, we can be totally and fully consumed with Him. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I want to close out with this verse. Hebrews 12, one of probably many of your favorite verses, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Wait a minute, did you hear that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Who for the joy that was set before him did what? Endured the cross. Despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what does that say? It told us, look to Jesus, who is the beginner of our faith and finishes our faith. You don't finish your faith. God does. You can't finish your faith. Why would any pot that's made by a potter jump off the wheel and go, "Whoa, look what I've done"? Why would any piece of furniture fashioned by a craftsman jump around and go, "Look what I made of myself"? Listen, people, God is the one who begins your faith. He's the one who called you to Him. He's the one who gave you the opportunity, and He's the one who will finish you right now. God is the one who does that. You don't do that. We look to Jesus, the Scripture says, the author and finisher of our faith. And it says that for you and me, it says for you and for me, Jesus joyfully did what? Endured the cross. How in the world can we ever put joyfully into that? And yet, God's Word said He joyfully endured the cross and its shame. And it then says that Jesus Christ is waiting at the throne of God. He is waiting at the throne of God for us to finish our race too. Among the great crowd of witnesses is our Lord and Savior, who not only watches, but has sent us the Helper, has sent us a Strengthener, has sent us His Holy Spirit. So, dear friends, when you get weary of the struggle, listen, I'll be here. You can call me. You can call me and go, I've just about had it up to here. You ever been there? Yeah. Some of us aren't tall enough to get to the up to, are we? But I know this. God, who is the author of our faith, is also the finisher. He's going to help you through it. He's going to give you the strength. Don't give up. When you get weary of the struggle and you get tired of serving God well, don't quit. Don't let Satan discourage you into quitting. Don't let Satan tell you you don't belong to God. The reason you're being attacked is because you do. Jesus endured it for you joyfully. Joyfully. And with His help, you can endure it for Him. Amen. With His help, you can endure it for Him. Pray with me. Let's start with this. Isn't God good? Aren't you glad that God loves you? Aren't you glad that He never leaves you? Aren't you glad that He never fails you? I know people fail us, and we fail others. But God never leaves you. He never forsakes you. We as people do. God never does. Lord, literally we stand here, sit here, live here before You in need of Your help. Sometimes, God, we get so tired we just want to cry. Sometimes, God, we fail. And it breaks our heart so, Lord, we think that You don't want us anymore. Sometimes, God, the world treats us so bad we just want to walk out. We just want to quit. But God, we know that that's Satan's tactic. He bullies us. And God, for some reason, You've given him a time on this earth where he has been loosed to do his damage. But Your word tells us, Lord, that a day is coming when he is going to be put in chains and dropped in the pit. That's going to be a day. That's going to be a good day. Until then, Lord, You've told us to learn to hold on to You. You've told us to learn to have faith. You told us to hang on. You told us not to give up. You told us not to hang up our sword and our shield, our bows. You told us don't quit. You told us to be faithful. And You said that for those who are faithful, there is a reward. We will be blessed. God, we're ready for some of that. Amen. We need You, Lord. Would You show us? Show us Your hand, Father. Give us Your strength to hang on. And Lord, help us to be consumed with Your Son. Help us to be so about your business that Satan couldn't get his business in edgewise. Help us, God, to serve you well.